This episode is brought to you by EY. How can EY teams help you create a better version of your company? We work with you to turn data into greater insights, invest to drive growth, and realize your strategic vision through thoughtful implementation. Visit ey.com/reimagine to learn more.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
So important to the banking contagion and nervousness that we've been talking about over the past week and a half is assessing the impact on the startup and venture world. Some have said the startup world, they're going to be just fine. Others are concerned about the underserved communities getting forgotten, again, like women and those of color who are trying to find funding for their entrepreneurial ventures. For over a decade, Kapoor Capital has been investing in what they call industry-transforming startups and those that close the gap and provide market and social equity growth. So let's dig into that. Our guests, venture capitalists and authors Mitch Kapoor and Frida Kapoor Klein, they are the founding partners at Kapoor Capital. They've got a new book out. It's called Closing the Equity Gap. Creating Wealth and Fostering Justice in Startup Investing. And they are with us via Zoom from the San Francisco Bay Area. Mitch and Frida, great to have you here with Jess and myself. I want to start big and broadly before we get into your book, the banking stress. I do wonder how that may go further in widening the wealth gap as big banks get bigger, attract more deposits amid worries over smaller regional banks. How do you see that?
I think it's a great question, and I think it's it could go either way. It depends on whether or not the VC community, the venture capital community, is willing to take a look at itself and to look at, gee, what did we do wrong? What have we overlooked? Where have we misstepped? And can we do better?
Do you think they even think they did anything wrong?
Well, it's interesting. There's certainly been a lot of finger pointing on social media every direction, from sometimes from VCs to each other and sometimes to the banking system. We've seen a lot of people who were anti-intervention, anti-government regulation, screaming for a bailout or a handout or help. So I think there's a lot that's in flux right now.
One of those things that's in flux, I mean, how exactly do you think startup compensation should be rethought to attract more diverse entrepreneurs when you have a situation like this that obviously is getting a lot of attention in the headlines?
Well, I think there are different ways to address startup compensation. I think certainly many have been left out of the venture capital model as it currently stands. The whole notion that you have that you start with a friends and family round assumes that you have friends and family who can write sizable checks. That is not very equitably distributed across the society. There's a phase of startups that's known as ramen profitable, assuming that that you can eke by eating ramen every day. That also assumes that you're not supporting other family members. It assumes that you don't have mountains of student debt. So I think there are a lot of aspects of what has just been assumed to be the startup culture and startup compensation. I think there's a lot that can be rethought.
What are we missing out, and I put that question to you, when we ignore certain parts of the entrepreneurial world?
Well, there's an enormous amount of underestimated and overlooked talent, entrepreneurial talent, given the way venture capital works in general today, because VC really places way too much of a premium on pedigree. Does your resume look right? Did you have a computer science degree from Stanford? Not that that's irrelevant, but we think much, much more relevant is what we call distance travel. We like to look at where a person started in life and how far through their own efforts they have overcome barriers and hurdles to get to where they've got. That to us is a much better indicator of things like resilience and persistence, issues of character, things that help tend to make a founder successful. So we look at distance travel. We don't particularly care, do you go to an Ivy League school or not? That is, you know, very often just a factor of privilege, not of accomplishment. If funding decisions were made based more on distance traveled, I think we would see a much wider and more diverse set of entrepreneurs getting venture capital funding.
Having said that, Silicon Valley Bank, Bloomberg certainly did the stories of how, as they grew over the years, that they were known for being there for minorities to invest or for people of color. And so there is some nervousness and concern that with them out of the picture, you know, what that means specifically for that. How do you see Silicon Valley Bank, that collapse specifically, maybe making it worse? And once again, rather than closing the equity gap, maybe it widens again.
Well, I think that's an interesting point that we've heard in talking to our own entrepreneurs, and we also invest in a couple dozen funds. And in talking to all of them over the crisis weekend about where were they banking and how much of their funds were uninsured, we found out that relatively a smaller portion of our startups and our general partners at other funds were invested at Silicon Valley Bank. And what we've seen as we've dug a little deeper is that Silicon Valley Bank had a section that was very good at sponsoring conferences and events, and they did indeed and deserve credit for underwriting events focused on Black entrepreneurs, on women entrepreneurs, on other underrepresented entrepreneurs. But that activity seemed to translate less to backing entrepreneurs of color and women entrepreneurs. They certainly did back some, but some of those that we talked to in the wake of the crisis said, well, all my money was there, but it was sitting in a non-interest-bearing account. They made me keep it there. I didn't have a relationship manager. I didn't have a sweep account. So I'm not sure that the day-to-day experiences of entrepreneurs who banked at Silicon Valley Bank was the same.
So are you? Go ahead, please. Come on in.
Just to add to that also, that Silicon Valley Bank was very much a central creature of Silicon Valley itself. There was a lot of clubbiness. They went and they talked to the biggest name VCs, and if you were backed by a big name VC, you got really great treatment at Silicon Valley Bank. You got a mortgage at a below market rate. You got invited on wine tours and ski trips, and it sort of all kept it within the club. We didn't see a lot of that kind of outreach to a more diverse set of entrepreneurs from a broader set of funders. And in a way, that it was the clubbiness of the system that when the sentiment turned and the VCs panic, that was the run on the bank, and that was the end of it.
Were you not completely surprised by its undoing?
No, I think I was surprised.
Okay.
I now know a lot more about bank balance sheets and how to estimate the health of all, but most of the rest of the venture community. But in hindsight, I think lots of things are becoming apparent in terms of there were regulatory warnings, but action wasn't taken. The bank itself did a great job at marketing itself, but wasn't watching what it was doing. I mean, there's a tremendous number of things that we can learn from. And I think for us, the most important thing as we advise our founders to look at banking relationships is to really ask, are the bankers really there for them? Are they really helping them grow their business? Do they understand who they are and where they come from? Or is it, you know, more superficial and about appearances? And, you know, we don't need more check-the-box diversity, not in Silicon Valley, not anywhere else.
Hey, Mitch, and especially it's interesting because your book that you have with Frida about closing the equity gap, I really wanted to know what specific steps do you think need to be taken to close the systemic social gaps for startups that are fronted by entrepreneurs?
Well, lots of things. We think in particular venture capitalists, when they came to us after George Floyd was murdered, said, we're not funding any Black entrepreneurs. We want to do that. And it was almost as if they're saying, well, should we look in aisle 12 or, you know, where? What we say is hold up a mirror, that the best thing you could do is to diversify your own investment team. that the more diverse that is, the more likely you are to be able to build a diverse portfolio. Open up your hiring process. Get beyond the clubby when you need to hire a new partner. Unbelievably enough, many firms don't even post the positions. We've had some success in influencing a more open process in hiring, and it is in fact begun to result in some more diversity in some of the top name firms, and that in turn produces a more diverse ecosystem of founders who get right. funded.
One of the things I would add to that also
just quickly,
is that we were, to our knowledge, we were the first VC firm that says we think the practice of warm intros, where you have to be introduced to a partner at the firm by somebody we know and respect, that we end that practice. So Frieda, we will take a pitch over our website.
Frieda, we really appreciate it. My apologies for cutting you off. We've got to run. But Mitch Kapoor and Frieda Kapoor Klein, the book is Closing the Equity Gap. Closing the Equity Gap.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.